Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 7 to 8. Tasya tyaktva svabhavasya. Grinir maya vanokasa. Bhajantam bhaja manasya. Valasyen vastitratmanaha. Matschula bina grivasya. Purina rudirena vai. Asrik priyam tarpa yisye. Prataram megatavyata. Tasya. Of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tyakta. Mahavasya. Swabhavasya. Who has given up his natural position of being equal to everyone. Grihe, most abominable, maya, under the influence of the illusory energy, vana okrasa, behaving exactly like an animal in the jungle, bhajantam, unto the devotee engaged in devotional service, Vajamanasya, being worshipped. Balasya, a child. Eva, like. Astira Atmanaha, who is always restless and changing. Mat, my. Shula, by the trident. Bina, separated. Grivasya, whose neck. Burina, profuse. Udirena, by blood. Vai, indeed. Asrik, priyam, was fond of blood. Tara paisye, I shall please. Brataram, brother. Me, my. Gatavyata, being peaceful myself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up His natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although He is the Supreme Person, now, influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans towards someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Purport. The defect of a demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time. Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change. And being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avajananti mamudam manushim tanam ashritam. Fools arrive me when I descend in a human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective. Thus they generally attain Swayuja Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat eaters and blood suckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord as having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indeed, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pujpam palam toyam yame bhakta priyachiti tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami priyatatmanaha. One offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is bhakta vatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhakta vatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The action of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. As for Rudira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood. But the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayuja Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayuja Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland prasad. The Supreme Personality of God has given up his natural tendency of equality toward the demons and demigods. Although he is a supreme person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods. Just as a restless child leans towards someone, I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident. And with the perfused blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus I shall too be peaceful. Bhagavatam also reveals the mentality of a demoniac person and what he's thinking. And generally everyone's thinking of something in relation to Krishna, although they may not be aware of it, but there's nothing in existence except for Krishna. So anything which is superior, anything which is an obstacle for one's domination, for one's sense gratification, then one has the same mentality as one would have for Krishna, because Krishna is the ultimate person who is threatening our sense gratification and who threatens our domination over the material nature. So Hiranyakashipu is just a little conscious that it's Vishnu in the form of Lord Varaha who killed his brother, although he doesn't know that Vishnu is the supreme. Therefore, but still the same mentality is there as if he'd have towards even an ordinary person who might stand in the way of his sense gratification or dominion. And that we'll find with Prahlad Maharaj. The same disturbance, the same envy, the same animosity he felt towards Vishnu, he also projected on Prahlad Maharaj. And the same fear when Prahlad Maharaj was unaffected by his tortures, he would have towards Vishnu. That anything which we can change, anything we can influence, anything we can control, we become fearful about. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mrityu sarva harashchaham. I'm time, and I take everything away. So everyone is afraid of time. If you look in the mirror and you see one extra wrinkle, you start thinking, oh, my, it's true, I might even die sometimes. There was a rumor like that, but anyhow, the sign is indicating something. And the demons, their whole idea is somehow or another defeat time, at least. I mean, time is the immediate controller. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu will find out he went to great extremes in order to conquer time, to try to get benedictions by which time would be conquered. He stood on the tip of his toes for 120 years with his arms upraised. So try to do that for 5 minutes. Put your arms up. Let's see if we can all do it for 5 minutes. We can't even do it for 1 second. Oh, there. There you go. Now, let's hold it for 1 year. Or at least until the coronavirus goes away. Imagine holding it for 120 years of the demigods, your arms just out, and standing on the tip of your toes. So that would be quite an austerity. And even more than that, he didn't eat, and he didn't, well, I don't know if he slept, maybe he slept, no one really knows, but he probably would have fallen over if he would have slept. He wasn't sleeping, he wasn't eating, he wasn't, after the ants and the moss ate his lungs, he wasn't even breathing. He was in bad shape, let me tell you. If his mother would have come, she should have said, you should eat more. You're just bones, you're not even skin anymore. And he stayed like that for 120 years in order to try to conquer death. Because death was something he couldn't conquer. Death, whatever power he had no power over death. He had no power over time. And therefore he wanted to conquer time, and then he could easily conquer the universe. If you can conquer over time, which is changing everything, then you can conquer everything. Of course, he had no power to figure out how to change time, because no one has any influence of time in the material world. But he hoped that Brahma, if he got some benediction from Brahma, then Brahma would be able to give him the benediction by which he could supersede time. And indeed, Brahma came, because he was causing such a big disturbance in the universe. Brahma comes, because Brahma's job is to keep the universe peaceful and progressive. So he came, and after coming, he asked for 100 benedictions. I mean, he was quite inventive, tried to ask for 100 benedictions. From someone who just came, especially to avoid death. It wouldn't be inside, wouldn't be outside, wouldn't be in day or night. I mean, if you just said, I'll never die in day and night, you seem to be pretty much covered. Inside or outside, animal, bird or beast or demigod, by any weapon, by any man or beast, whatever. He asked for 100 such benedictions, which are hard to think about, what he could have asked for. And yet, Krishna's couldn't be conquered. He couldn't be, time could not be impeded just by some demigod benedictions. Because as Brahma said, even I have to die. So if I had the benediction of not having to die, I would have given it to myself. I would have said, bless you, you won't die. Thank you. But he couldn't do that. He had no such power. And even Brahma is in meditation because he feels he's about to die because he's 50 years old now. And he only has 150 trillion years left. And time goes quick. So he's in meditation trying to overcome death, which he feels is about to come upon him. And yet Hiranyakashipu tried the utmost. We cannot even imagine doing any austerity. If we have to fast on Ekadasi or Janmashtami, we're practically dead the next day. Takes us 3 weeks to recover. And what to speak if you try to fast for 120 years of the demigods? You definitely will become just bones, but they won't be moving very much. Nor when Brahma comes for the benediction, you'll be able to, you won't be able to say very much. And yet, by such strong determination, by such strong animosity towards Vishnu, he got something like a benediction, but it didn't work. And even though he got this benediction, he couldn't be killed. Still, when he saw that he couldn't kill Prahlad, then he became fearful. That here I am, I'm so powerful, I have all these benedictions, and this little boy, 5 years old, I can't harm him. So what is the value of my prowess? Maybe this little boy will wind up killing me. Who knows? He seems to be more powerful than I am. I can't defeat him. So maybe one day he'll grow up. And he said, he'll tell me, remember when I was 5 years old, you were abusing me? Well, now I'm 16, though. Why don't we step outside and we can say... We can settle the whole thing. So he was afraid of that. So after a while, he even gave up trying to kill Prahlad. He wanted to have his wife do it. Prahlad's mother tried to get it. Because Prahlad grows up, he's 16. He looks at his mother, you try to poison me. But your father made me do it, but you did it. But still, he couldn't poison Prahlad, so Hiranyakashipu went to the ultimate weapon. He took out his own sword, and he was going to cut off Prahlad's head. He wanted to cut off Vishnu's head. He's quite unsuccessful. But now he's going to try and cut off Prahlad's head. But Vishnu came, and although Hiranyakashipu had the opportunity to cut off Vishnu's head in the form of Nrisimhadeva, he was quite unsuccessful. What to speak of our little selves? What are we going to do? Although everyone in the material world feels animosity directly or indirectly to the Supreme, if you tell people some authority says to do something, then everyone's going to try and figure out how to do the opposite, just to show that they're not controlled by any authority. No reason or rhyme, but just to show that I'm not controlled. Therefore, psychology is there. Convince people to do something that they, by telling them to do the opposite. They told everyone, you must go outside, then everyone would say, we're going to stay inside. So everyone has resentment against authority. Sometimes they say it's my mother or my father, or they go in past lives, I was a frog and this authority came along in the form of a serpent and I was just chanting my rounds and he ate me. Everyone has a resentment against things that are superior that might threaten one's sense gratification. And the ultimate person controlling the whole thing is Krishna. He's behind every activity. He's the one who, in every detail, he's causing everything to happen. But people don't realize the problem is they're desirous. Because they're against Vishnu. They're working against Vishnu's instructions. Therefore, they're putting themselves into difficulty. And if they dovetail their activities with Vishnu's, then everything becomes very auspicious. So here, Prabhupada even says, I guess maybe the Acharyas also mention it, that Hiranyakashipu wanted blood. Actually, everyone in the material world, a lot of people are eating blood in the form of meat. They're actually envious of the animals. Why should these animals, if they exist, they should exist for my sense gratification. If they don't exist for my sense gratification, then they're useless, and we should kill them anyhow. So they enjoy not so much the taste of meat, although they put spices and everything else, because meat itself is quite, has no real taste. It's the blood that has some taste. Or they have to add so many spices. Matter of fact, after they kill the animal, it's probably you can't eat the meat. It's too tough. They have to let it rot for some time. And when it's nice and rotten and soft, then they can add all kinds of salt or whatever else, and then you can eat it, and then you can taste the blood. That I'm lording it over this living entity. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. So that's the main thing in the material. That's the first thing in the material world: to feel oneself to be important, a controller and enjoyer. And even in vegetarian, he has his carrot on his plate, offering dandavats, surrendered. Ready to become, to enter into us, to become one with us, to surrender to us, and empower us to eat cauliflowers and potatoes and all kinds of other things. So everyone in this lust to lord it over something in the material world and to enjoy it, beginning with eating. And therefore prasadam is so important, but not just eating prasadam, but eating it with the right attitude. Eating it with a devotional attitude so that one remembers Krishna. And if one remembers Krishna, then the tendency to want to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it will gradually diminish. Instead, the material nature will be seen as an opportunity to serve Krishna rather than to exploit his energies and enjoy them. And even prasadam, Prabhupada said, can also be eaten in the mood of lording over and trying to enjoy. And it won't be as beneficial if we don't remember Krishna while we're eating prasadam. And what to speak of anything else? So Hiranyakashipu wants to, and his brother wanted to taste blood. And blood, when it's transformed, becomes milk. And milk is the most nutritious food and the only food given out of love. The materialists kill the animals, especially the cow, out of envy and lust, and the cow, if it's protected, then it gives milk out of love. And that love will nourish one's consciousness and enable one to develop spiritual consciousness more easily. It develops a maternal feeling of affection towards others. And if the cow is killed out of envy, then simply one will become more envious, not only of Krishna, but of everyone. Not only the animals, but one will actually, that envy will develop towards all living entities. If you can appreciate your mother cow, you won't appreciate your mother either, probably. What to speak of anyone else? Everyone else will be seen as an object of exploitation and enjoyment, however subtle it may become. I may say I love you, but actually what we're saying, I would love to exploit you. I'll exploit you in a way that you're happy about it for some time, and let you exploit me. That way we happily exploit each other in the name of love and romance. But it's just enviousness. Because as soon as the love and romance ends, as soon as I can't exploit you, anymore, then I hate you. I want to get rid of you, but I can't, because you're going to take half my money away if I get rid of you. So I got to tolerate you for so many years. I spent so many years trying to exploit you, and now I have to spend the rest of my life trying to tolerate you. So that's not a very happy prospect. But if one becomes a devotee in Krishna consciousness, then one, everyone becomes an object of devotion, of service, and then appreciation also. And then one can have a happy relationship in one's family life, in one's social life, in one's communal life, and one can have a happy view, a positive view towards everyone as an object of service and devotion in relationship to Krishna, rather than an object of exploitation or possibly being exploited by them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lesson. When we are listening to these stories, like Hiranyakashipu or some other demons, or even materialistic people in this world, they have like this great determination to go through all these austerities. You know, it's unthinkable what Hiranyakashipu had to endure in his austerities. But we also have like Srila Prabhupada, he also had this great determination to fulfill his mission, to overcome all these difficulties on his mission. So I was thinking, what is the difference between the sources? What are the two different sources of determination that they have?
Well, determination out of love for Krishna is because there's a continuous source of pleasure coming and happiness and love. Natural love, of course, coming in relation to Krishna. As far as the demons go, they're driven by Maya in the form of future happiness, future peace, future accomplishment. And just like the hawk flies high into the sky and has eyes that can see 2 miles down, but although he's so high, what he's really looking for is some dead body on the ground. So everyone in the material world is driven by the same things. The desire for immortality. And so we can eternally enjoy in the material world and control the material nature. So everyone is driven by that. But some people have more, they have a bigger, they're more ambitious. Some people think, if I can live for an extra year, I'll be alright. And other people think, I'm going to live forever here. So depending on what the, of course, if we thought that we could live forever by fasting every Ekadasi, we do it. But we don't have so much confidence. We think, well, what's the sense of fasting on Ekadasi? I'm not going to live forever, so I might as well eat something. But he had the idea that maybe I could actually get this benediction. And he really wanted it, just like we all really want it, just that we don't believe we're going to get it, so we have our limitations. And after he would have gotten it, we can see after he thought he got it, he was a drunkard. He became just a drunk. An ordinary drunk. Always drinking wine, etc. So, it's not that he was always austere. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yes. It seems as devotees we are not so concerned with making sure we live long, but it's not such a high priority. But even in the Bhagavatam we see this is a blessing that's not infrequently given to some devotees, by devotees to devotees. So why do they give this blessing? Like Ramaharshana Sutta was giving that blessing. I think Sutta Goswami is also given that blessing. And so why do the sages and devotees give such a blessing, live long?
Well, because if you live long, you can use the experience you have to serve Krishna with it and advance in Krishna consciousness. If you leave your body, you got to start all over again. 1 + 1 is what? 3. No, it's 2, you rascal. We got to go through the whole thing again, waste so much time. But if the longer we live, the more we can advance the more we make progress, the more we can serve Krishna's mission. Yes.
I have another question. As far as I remember, Srila Prabhupada did refer to Bose's plant experiments. He was working in Bose's laboratories, as far as I understand. So Bose was famous for showing that plants are sentient and they are afraid of people who give them pain. So it sounds quite impressive even for convincing materialists about the presence of consciousness in life. At the same time, this is the meat eater's most frequent argument, that you are hurting the plants. So how would we... may I ask you, what are your favorite responses to such challenges when people say that you are hurting plants when you are vegetarian?
Well, any time we went to cut a plant and it screamed, we stopped.
Don't kill me.
No, it feels something, but what it feels is rather minuscule compared to the... Besides that, we're not vegetarians, we're Krishnarians. But we offer it to Krishna. Since Krishna asked for patram pushpam balam toyam, we offer it to him. And then everything, the plants and are benefited. Prabhupada said if Krishna would have asked for meat, we would have offered him meat, but he doesn't ask for it. So we just eat whatever Krishna asks us to provide to him, and we get the remnants. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Poor Premanande.